You ever sneak dairy?
What? Why would you say that? Yeah.
He's lactose intolerant.
Oh gosh. Okay, look. First of all, you have started the show this way before.
But last time was sneaking cheese. This time I deflected the dairy because you ate a bowl of, I must say, delicious homemade banana pudding the other day.
Yeah, Thomas made some banana pudding, and I was at his house, and he was like, does anybody want banana pudding? And I was just like, there wasn't a decision point in my mind. It's like, I just heard the two words and I was like, yes, it's a yes. But I haven't had any banana pudding in years. Christy used to make banana pudding for me for my birthday every single year. And she hasn't made it in years because I can't eat it anymore. And so that was the first bowl of banana pudding I've had in a long time.
Well,
it was delicious.
Okay.
You did a really good job.
We're waiting. That's Caddyshack.
Thank you. But like, you did a really nice job with the banana pudding.
Thanks.
But I have been on a long, painful slide into the depths of lactose intolerance. It's not fun.
Wow.
It's not fair.
No, it's not fair. I will say that was my second batch because the first batch I made, my mom pointed out this was a mistake anyway. As I was talking to her on the phone how to make banana pudding, but I used a cutting board to cut my bananas that the previous week I had chopped an immense amount of garlic on.
Oh gosh.
And just didn't clean good enough. So I literally like tried a bite of the pudding and I was like, what is going on here? And then I realized very quickly what had happened. So I dumped the whole
banana
thing.
Pasta.
I was just like on the phone with my mom. I was like, I have to start over. She was like, why? And I was like, it tastes like garlic. She's like, well, just pull the bananas out. I was like, we're too late. Everything's
it's
in
over,
the can right now.
Mayday, mayday.
It's over. I just had a tub of banana pudding in my trash for a few days.
Gosh. No, not a few days.
Yeah.
You got to take stuff like that out, man.
Well, it didn't smell. I promise.
You couldn't even smell your cutting board. What are you talking about?
Hey, I have a good nose. Let me tell you. You know I have a good sense of the smells.
It failed you in that
respect. Well, I mean, come on. There's plenty. I just messed up.
Yeah. So is there anything that you can't eat? Can you eat everything?
Assumedly, I mean, is that a word?
Presumably,
servancy. As far as I know, it's like okay. So our friend Sam Bingham, right?
Yeah.
He's one of my best friends of all time, and he's always had GI issues. Period. And he claims it's because he got this like waterborne virus when he was 16 called Giardia, which is, I mean, like it's a fact. Sam had Giardia. He lost like 30 pounds in a month. It was crazy. He claims that it still has lasting effects on his body. Our doctor friend said, no, it does not.
So, that was amazing. He was like, no, he doesn't have Giardia.
Nah, but
he had it.
He was so, like,
now he just has food
he's
allergies.
Just food allergic to
but he won't admit it.
Gluten and dairy and will not admit it.
He's just gonna ride it out.
He's just gonna live the life that he's living. Which, you know, when you're 28, he's got his mind made up on some things.
Yeah, do your thing, Sam.
Yeah, he eats what he wants.
Wow. Just thinking about, I mean, it's like just as you talk about Sam, there's those people in your life, and I'm sure everybody has them, where like their personality is so big and so fun that like even when you talk about them, you can just see them in your mind's eye and you just enjoy who they are.
Yes.
And that's the way it is with, if anybody mentions Sam, I can just, in my mind's eye, I see him like moving his eyebrows up and down.
One word just popped into my head that I just can't say.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just so fun. You just did to our audience what you sometimes do to me.
What?
Like sometimes Thomas whispers words to you guys. Yeah, into his microphone because he knows I can't hear very well. That's so uncool. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast where we're going to talk about some scriptures that have been encouraging us. And can I go first today?
In the words of Marshall, Judge Fudge, I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Judge Fudge.
Big Fudge.
Big Fudge.
Oh, gosh. That's so fun. I'll allow it. I want to look at Revelation chapter 12.
Ooh.
And Revelation chapter 12 is...
Let's revelate.
And let's reveal some stuff.
Oh, that's the word. Okay.
just kidding. Assumedly.
Assumedly.
Presumably.
Is that what I said?
You said assumedly, I think.
I guarantee you that's a word.
Okay.
Googling.
Are we in the... Wait, I thought you were going to go to the scripture.
I am. You assumedly, said in British
assumably.
English.
You said assumably, that's what it was.
Assumedly is a presumed manner, in a presumed manner, that both constitutions contain provisions for constitutional amendments.
I think what you said was assumably, with a B.
Even the word I used did not mean what it meant. Mm-mm. I thought it meant, oh, the woman and the dragon.
Yeah, so the Revelation chapter 12 is about Satan, and... basically him getting his tail kicked, which is awesome. And like, it gives like a, it's just a very interesting way of laying it out. And, I'm not going to read all of it and into all of it.
Can I just like,
bizarre. Yeah.
Can I do like a preface? When we talk about Satan getting his tail kicked, I think of two things. One, I think of Potsy when he goes, I smell sulfur.
Yeah.
In the middle of a tough situation, Potsy will say, you smell
like,
the sulfur.
Like you can tell he's roaming around here somewhere.
And then two, he'll do that thing where he flops his hand on the table and wiggles it around. And we're like, what are you doing, Potsy? And he's like, he said, that's Satan's tail when God slams the door on him and it gets caught in the door and it gets cut off and it's just flopping there. That is amazing.
I have another Potsyism about the destruction of Satan, which is Potsy's brother, Michael, always says when the Lord throws Satan into the abyss of fire, he said, I'm gonna be standing right there on the front row with Coke and popcorn.
Mm.
And so like sometimes me and Potsy will say Coke and popcorn.
Yeah.
And and it's gonna be awesome. But so okay, this is what John says. He's talking about Satan. He says, the great dragon, this is verse 9, sorry.
You're great.
The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So, just to set some context of like, yes, this is who we're talking about. We're talking about Satan. And it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is furious because he knows his time is short.
Mm.
So I read all of that to get to that last sentence.
That's right. Wait, can I ask you a question before you unpack?
Carry on.
John's tense here that he's writing in is past tense, yeah?
It's pretty fluid in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
So it's a vision, so he's kind of time traveling. So
right.
He's talking about things in the past tense that have not happened yet.
Right, which I think is so cool. I think it's amazing.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it makes me wiggle a little bit because this is all really, that whole thing was really cool to read. And I just wanted to be clear. It's like, John has seen this, but also, so now we know this is what's
going to
happen.
This is what's going to happen. And it's cool because it's like,
I just wanted to set the table.
Yeah. I appreciate you setting the table. And
you're welcome.
You know, and if you set the table with your banana pudding again, I'll eat it again.
Go for it.
Even though I shouldn't.
Should not.
But yeah, we're talking about stuff in the past tense that hasn't happened yet, which is really, really cool because Satan, that ancient serpent, as the beginning verse said, he knows this whole book. He knows every verse in it. He knows what's going to happen. And I love how this whole little thing ends, that he's furious because he knows his time is short. And it's kind of like if you're playing a game and you know, you're relaxed and you're cool because you got a lot of time on the clock. And then all of a sudden, like, it's like you're down. It's in the fourth quarter. Like, you don't have a lot of time left. And a game like that that has a clock, it's like, no. Now we just got to start slinging the ball. Mm-hmm. And, like even the most conservative offensive coordinators are just going to start airing the ball out right. if you're in that situation. And so you're going to start doing onside kicks and you know, you're just going to start doing like emergency
things. Thank
you for
saying that right, by the way.
Yeah.
Onsides.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you're going to start doing – you're going to start being a little more reckless yeah. with your play calling. And that's the image that I got here about the enemy.
Oh, like, okay. I get what
he's flailing.
Mm.
Like, as conflicts and messes in our world and, you know, among, you know, all the stuff that we're seeing, like Christy came home the other day and said, are we in the end times? Mm. And, you know, it was like Kabul had fallen and people are freaking out and all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, there's worse natural disasters than there have been in the past, you know, 16 centuries.
That's right.
Just in the past 30 years.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And it's like, are we, you know, and I love the way Tom describes it. He like if he has his finger on a table, like you're eating lunch or something, and he's like, all right, so this is where Abraham was called by God. And then he had kids and then
you're describing a timeline, right?
Yeah. So a timeline. So Tom will like trace his finger across the table and he's like, and then there was Moses and then there was, and then, you know, and then there was David. And the kings. And then there was the, you know, there was the exile in Babylon and then everybody came back and they rebuilt the temple. And the whole time his finger is moving closer towards the end of the table. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and then Jesus was born and then Jesus did all his ministry and then he died and he rose from the dead. And then Tom's finger will be right at the end of the table. And he's like, he ascended into heaven. And it's like right on the edge. And then his finger will take a left turn across the edge of the table. He's like, and now we're moving like this. At any moment, boom, we could go off the table.
Heck yeah.
And so it's like this, it's been a timeline, And then from the moment Jesus ascended into heaven, we don't know the day, but we're just skirting the edge of time. Any moment we could go off and so when Christy said that, I was like, yeah, that's the way I would describe it. And she's like, because it just seems like things are heating up. And I'm like, it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The clock is running out.
Yeah.
He's flailing.
Yeah.
He's furious. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get punked today.
That's right.
That doesn't mean, and even as I say that, I'm like, I need to strap up because I'm outing him right now on this show. But like,
yeah, you got a target on your back. Right?
Yeah, I got a target on my back. I'm going to get lied to. I'm going to get confused. I'm going to get all that kind of stuff. I got to keep my wits about me. Right. But here's the thing. Even if I have a terrible day, like his time is short.
Mm.
He's running out of time. He's flailing. He's struggling. Like there's coming a point where, this is in chapter 12. If you flip over to chapter 19, and then you flip over to chapter 20, you have God saying, "The old order of things has passed away."
Wow.
I am making all things new. Mm. I'm going to wipe every tear from every eye and they're going to rest from their labor. And you're just like, you can just feel the peace of that. Like eventually the clock's going to run out and he's going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think it's just Coke and popcorn, man. Mm. It's like that little tail's going to be flapping around on the, you know, on the outside of the door. And it's like, and I think it's such a sweet thing that we have this reminder that like, no matter how bonkers it gets today, no matter how scary things seem, he's flailing because he knows his time is short. He's furious. Later in this chapter, it says that he is enraged.
Wow.
And it's like, he's raging. This is not cold calculus anymore. This is not brilliant stratagems. This is somebody that is falling apart at the seams. And I just really enjoy that.
Yeah. I like that. There's so much imagery that's coming to my head right now. Mm-hmm. You know, just a little kid who's busted in a lie, but instead of just coming clean about it, they just keep lying and lying and lying. And it's
you can almost
obvious.
See their heart beating out of their chest.
Yes, yes.
As they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that I, yeah.
Right. Almost every fish you catch, if you're in a boat,
yeah.
The moment it sees your boat, it gives one last like kick of like, I'm getting off this line. And it takes off and it goes. When I was in seventh grade, we played our crosstown rival in football, the one year I played football in my life.
Yeah.
And at halftime, it was 28 to nothing. And our coach, like, said there was a thunderstorm coming, but really, he just pulled the plug because it was like, oh, we have no chance.
Wait, you didn't finish the game?
Did not finish the game because we were getting destroyed. And it was merciful. You know, it was like, it was straight mercy. When I hear this, I'm like, to people who, this is funny because this is stuff I'm passionate about. To people who see things in the world falling apart and deny them,
yeah,
I'm like, what do you mean? Especially people who come at it from a Christian angle.
Right.
Like, no, the world can't be warming up. The world, the natural disasters can't be getting worse. There's, it just, you know, whatever. This is how the thing works. It's like, yeah. The bees can't be dying. There can't be a lack of polar bears. I saw a meme yesterday that made me laugh. That would be extremely inappropriate to say on here about global warming. And I'm like, to people who are denying that at this point, I'm like, I'm not coming at this from a scientific angle. I'm just saying, guys, it's just happening. It's happening. We're getting closer and closer to the edge of that table. We are at the edge of the table.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer.
Scooting along the edge.
To going just straight off. And there's part of me, a huge part of me is heartbroken for the world and sad because the way I feel is like we are in so much strife and turmoil always. We are pointing fingers always. And Christians are pointing fingers always and getting angrier and angrier when any day now, that finger's going off the edge of the table and this thing's getting over with.
Yeah.
And the moment we see our Savior's face, any type of argument and anger and frustration we had is going to be the most moot point of all time. Yeah. And I'm sad because we have wasted so much time. Mm. We've just wasted it. When there are people who don't know or they don't see or they see the way we act and they think, I don't want any part of that.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you. Christians have been turds. It is time to take, frick. I just get angry when I talk about this. I don't get angry. I'm just like, what are we doing, Lee?
It's
just, like,
it's amazing.
Let's go to the high school right now. Like,
let's tell people about Jesus. Yeah. So like you know, when you think about the old order of things passing away and a new order has come, and it's just like, you just take one thing that sucks about the old order of things. Just take one thing, drama. Mm. Like, there was no drama before that snake opened his mouth.
That's right.
There was not going to be any.
Right.
And then he opened his mouth.
Right.
And since then, there's been drama the whole time. And it's like, so just take that one element. I mean, you know, you're talking about storms, the destruction of the natural order, all this kind of stuff. All of that stuff is relevant. Wars, everything. But just take that one thing that affects everybody, just drama. Remove it from human experience. And it's like that old enemy is flailing because he loves it. He loves drama, confusion. He loves that kind of
tension.
Yeah, he your heart loves racing. That stuff, and it's going to be gone. And that is so, it's like he knows that like drama has an expiration date. And that is such an exciting sentence to say. Mm. I can hardly stand it.
That's right. Golly. We just did a song on Sunday and it was, and the chorus is the most, it's my favorite. It may be my favorite chorus of any song of all time because it says, I was made for heaven. I was made for Jesus. And then he says, I was made to walk in the cool of the day with you.
Yeah.
And there's
that picture from Eden.
There's nothing dramatic about that. It's just peaceful. Yeah. If you've never gone on a walk intentionally with Jesus, like before the sunrise or as the sun's coming up or in the evening or whatever, and just said like, we're just going to go on a walk together, just you and me.
Yeah.
It's so like with the DNA that I have and the way I was made, peace is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
When there's tension and when there's anger, when my heart is pounding, when there's drama, I'm at my worst if I'm not careful. And I love when I have a very peaceful moment. I just love it. And I could roll around in it like a pig in the mud. I just am like, I want to soak it up and it does feel like those moments mean more and more and more the older I get. And I'm super grateful for them. Anyways, all right, 2 Peter chapter 3. Whoa. I'm kind of staying on topic with you.
Carry on.
A little bit. Unintentionally. Oh,
I just turned to Jude.
Hey, Jude.
So fun. Okay.
That's our baby's name.
2 Peter chapter 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, I just am like, probably going to be in verse 8. I am so enamored by Peter. I love him.
Yeah.
Because he's bombastic. But as he's writing these letters, you're just like, your time with Jesus completely overhauled who you are.
Yeah, because he's so different.
He's so different.
Yeah.
He's so... His writing is beautiful. Yeah. It's kind. You can tell he's a different man.
Yeah, it's one of those things of like just somebody that aged well.
Yeah,
just a calm old guy, you know.
Yeah, I love that, and I love it the way he starts this verse is, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, and that right there alone to me is like, I can't imagine, like, you know, walking on water, Peter saying the word dear friends. I can't imagine that, yeah. Which is so funny. I may be wrong, but it just is interesting. But do not forget this word, this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. I think, one, it's amazing that we both kind of lined up on end times type of stuff. But
that's really cool. I mean, especially when you consider the absolute absence of planning that goes into this podcast.
There couldn't be
literally
less
the only plan is, are we going to record on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. See you there.
Yeah. My alarm goes off at 5:30 and I'm like, here we go. Time to record this podcast on Wednesday. I think the thing that really jumped off the page to me is verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. And zooming in even more, it's the last part, as some understand slowness. And zooming in even more, it's as some understand.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think one thing that's becoming more and more true to me and that I'm learning more the more I walk with Jesus is that my understanding is as broad as it possibly can be. And I have to be willing to say that with our Lord, my mind has to be open. I have to be ready to hear things that and understand things and look at things from a different angle because I only know so much and my mind can only understand so much and my mind can only comprehend so much. And if I come in any time to the scriptures thinking, I already know what's going on. I know this is the box that I'm putting this in. I'm not going to get it. It's gonna say what I want it to, and it's gonna make sense to what I want it to and what I need it to at the time. It's kind of a scary thing in our faith is that people can take the Bible and take God's word and put it in whatever box they want to and make it look like it, how it's supposed to be in their mind. Yeah. And I love what Peter's saying here, and it's as some understand slowness, and it's like, well, yeah, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. But by my understanding, he is. If I think of it the way I think of slowness, he is. Because I'm 27 and he hasn't come back yet. You know, like I'm going through hard stuff and it's not over yet.
Right.
Whatever the thing is, interject, whatever the word is, whatever you want to fill in the blank with there. It hasn't gone the way I've wanted it to yet. He hasn't answered my prayers the way he said he would yet. There's blank is happening and it's not done yet. Whatever the thing is, by my understanding of slowness, he's slow. By God's definition of how the world is spinning, how my life is going, it's right on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
By God's definition. And that's the one that matters. Yeah. The way the Lord sees things, the way the Lord plans things, that's what matters. That's how this thing works. His timeline is how things work. When I think about Jesus's ministry on earth, particularly at certain places in the book of John, the people who misunderstood him and did not like him, it's because they were unwilling to think. They were just unwilling to open their minds in any way and think of what he's saying. I mean, they could not wrap their heads around what he was saying. If they would use their brain and think for a second, they could connect dots throughout the Old Testament and realize this is exactly who he's supposed to be.
Right.
But instead, they were so narrow-minded and had their minds so set on one thing, they could not understand it, and they killed him.
Yeah.
If we're unwilling to think, I may be wrong about some things. I may be unable to see this if I don't step aside from this stuff. We're going to miss so many things, and we're not going to understand Jesus. He's going to be who we want him to be, which a lot of times is not good because it just is petting the things that we feel and think and believe, and we're coddling them, and we have created a Christianity that is not Christianity and a God who is not God.
Yeah, you know, part of the thing that you're talking about here is authority, you know? So like, like I have things I think and I have things I feel, but at a certain point I have to make a decision that these words, like that the words of Scripture, just to be frank, have higher authority than my feelings do.
Mm.
And if I don't think that, then I'm going to get washed away.
Right.
But if I do, then now I get to, this is funny because I'm thinking about this for Sunday morning's message, but like,
okay.
But like, if I do, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well then I can feel some things, but I just know that like, I have to be willing to let something else have authority over it. Like we have a 12-year-old son and like he has a 12-year-old understanding of the world and he has 12-year-old feelings and stuff. And so like when he starts something new, like he wanted to play some mandolin and stuff. And it's like, cool, well, here's some tablature. Here's how you read tablature and start working on this fiddle tune. And like when, you know, he wants to practice for 5 minutes and be amazing at it. And it's like, yeah, that's not the way that works.
Same dude, same.
Like, you want to.
Right.
You feel like I've played through it 4 times. I should be golden by now.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not how that works. I mean, it's like the best players in the world play for 4 hours every single day.
Right.
They do not take a day off because that's just not the way that works.
Right.
And it's like you can feel whatever you want to feel about it, but there's something that's truer than the way that you feel. And and it's like that's the whole thing. Like when you're pointing out, as some understand slowness, it's like it's just gonna be cool when the popcorn and Coke is over and the drama is gone and the new world order and there's a new heaven, a new earth and all that kind of stuff. And then we look into the face of the one who has remade everything in existence into perfection.
Mm.
We are going to know and we will admit he was right.
Yeah.
That was the perfect amount of time.
Right.
That he wanted everybody that's here to get here.
Right.
And he allowed the world to keep spinning just long enough for her to get in,
right,
and for him to get in, and for her to get in, and for her to get in, and for him to get in.
Mm.
And like, and they're here and they're in our family forever. And like, whatever the thing is, we're going to be like, yeah, that really wasn't any time at all.
Right.
You know, I'll never unsee this moment when Potsy was preaching one time and he pulled a spray bottle of Windex out of this little lectern and said, "This is your life." And he squirted the Windex and you could see the little mist for a second and it was gone. And which was he was just giving a visible demonstration of that thing in the book of James about your life is a vapor. And I'll never unsee that, but it doesn't feel like a vapor. It feels like a really long time.
Right.
And pain feels long and wounds take a long time to heal and everything. But that's the way we understand it right now. It's just, you know, we're going to get there and we're going to be like, that was perfect.
Right.
But it doesn't feel that way right now.
No.
And so some of this is deciding, yeah, I understand my pain in this way. I'm going to have to get my mind around the fact that some things are truer than my feelings.
Right. That's right. Wow. Some things are truer than my feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to hear that again on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good word, and it's biblical.
I wish you guys could have seen Thomas's face when he said, and it's, and then his head looked down, and he's like, biblical.
Biblical. The heart is deceitful above all things.
Yes, it is.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything to add to that. I'm sorry. I just thought you said great things.
Nothing. We don't.
Sometimes you speak and I don't need to comment. Because
well, I
so
feel the
beautiful.
Same way. Sometimes, sometimes you speak and I don't need to comment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was fun.
Do you remember what we used to do when we closed the show?
What?
Today's podcast was brought to you by.
Wow.
We haven't done that forever.
That's true.
Why did that just pop into my head?
I don't know.
Have you worn that shirt before when you said that statement?
This shirt right here?
Yeah.
With the.
It looks brand new.
The amp tube on it?
Yeah.
It's like a guitar amp tube.
Yeah, okay.
This is a fairly new shirt for me.
Okay.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by...
Orville Redenbacher popcorn. The official popcorn of the end of the world.
That got me. That just got me.
I thought that was a good one.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
My name's Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
I'm going home. Coming back one day, and every tear that I cry from the troubles of this life, I know that He will wipe away. I'm going home where I belong. My Lord Jesus will